Thank you for joining us for this sermon podcast from First Baptist Church at the Fields. I'm Dr. Brent Taylor, and we invite you to join us each week in worship. I am praying for you and trusting God will use this message to encourage your faith and strengthen your walk with Him. Well, good morning, everyone. I want to make a revelation to many of you. I wear glasses. Now, some of you also wear glasses, and that's because all the cool kids wear glasses. Now, some of you need glasses, but you prefer to squint instead of wearing glasses. Some of you wear contact lenses. Others of you have had LASIK surgery. And some of you are blessed with perfect eyesight. And I am so happy for both of you in the room that have that. Now, why do I wear glasses? Well, it's not to make me look better, because that takes a lot more work than that. It's not to keep Dr. Haas in business, although she's a great eye doctor. But I wear glasses because they help me see better. Well, today is about vision. And vision always begins with sight. Not the kind of sight that comes from our eyes, but the kind of sight that comes from our hearts. And vision is the ability to separate. Vision has that ability to separate those who can see and those who can't see. And I'm not talking about physical sight. Two people can look at the exact same thing and see entirely different futures. One can see obstacles while the other sees opportunities. One can see problems while the other sees possibilities. One sees what is and the other sees what could be. That's the difference that vision makes. Even in the Bible, we're told that man sees the outer appearance, but God looks at the heart. And what is visible is often impressive, whether it's big buildings or big numbers or lots of resources or past successes. But sometimes we fail to realize that which is invisible is much more impressive. I want to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 4 today, beginning in verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. God calls people to vision. And part of the reason is that it makes us more like Him. God is a visionary, and that's an understatement. When God looks at a shepherd boy, He sees King David. When God looks at a stuttering fugitive, He sees a deliverer named Moses. When God looks at some fearful disciples, He sees a movement that can change the world. Vision, as a Christ follower, is learning to see people and problems and possibilities, but to see them the way that God sees them. And that's what we want to do today. Now, here's what's interesting. Most of the time, God does not change the circumstances first. Most of the time, He casts the vision first. Before He gives direction, He gives perspective. Before He works outwardly, He works inwardly. Before He reveals the plan, He reshapes the way people see. Now, vision answers questions. Here's questions vision answers. What does God see for us, and what does He want us to see? Those are going to be questions I want us to be pondering today. What does God see for our church and for our community? And what does God see in our children and in our students, in our families, in our neighborhoods? What does God see for the future? What kind of direction, what kind of calling does He want us in? Vision Sunday is not about dreaming up ideas. It's not about strategies and slogans and spreadsheets. Those will come later. Vision Sunday is about alignment. It's about asking God to correct our eyesight, to see according to His ways and His plans. And I have been praying, Lord, let us see what You see. Lord, let us value what You value. And when God's people begin to see the things that God sees, when they begin to care about the things that God cares about, and when they begin to do what God asks a church to do, they move toward what God is already doing, the work he's already doing. So it's alignment. It's alignment that is happening with the will of God. Today is not about grand announcements, so you can take a deep breath, but I do want to share with you new things. Today is about lifting our eyes, about looking beyond the regular and the familiar. It's about trusting the God who sees the Alpha and the Omega and invites us to walk with him, to fix our eyes not on what is seen, as the scripture says, but on what is unseen. And to ask ourselves, do we see what God sees? All right, so here's what I want to do today. Today I want to share with you about who we are, where we're going, and what we need. Pretty simple outline there. Who we are, where we're going, and what we need. So I want to begin with who we are. And I'm going to talk kind of fast today because I got a lot I want to share with you, but you're all fast listeners, so it's good. There's so much I could say about who we are, but I want to focus on the inside, who we are on the inside. And I want to talk about our calling and culture. Our calling and culture. God has placed a calling on all churches. We see that in Scripture in the Great Commission. We see it in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But we have a phrase that we like to use around here that describes our calling. It's not new. It's been a part of our church for over 20 years. But I think it's a great calling, and that calling is lifestyle Christianity. Lifestyle Christianity, the idea that we are to blend our faith into every aspect of our life. We don't want to be Christians on Sunday only. And as Baptists, we don't want to be Christians on Sunday and Wednesday only. We want to blend our faith into every aspect of our life, our heart, our home, our church, and the world. That is the calling that God has placed on our church. The world does not need any more Sunday-only Christians. We've reached our max on that. But what the world needs are Christ followers who are actively engaged in their faith 24/7, 365. And God has been forming that concept in the life of our church for a long, long time. He's also been creating a culture in who we are as a church. Culture is just the way you do things. It's the way we do things around here. Our staff has identified five aspects of our culture that really stand out. First is we're Bible-centered. Bible-centered. We value Bible-centered preaching, teaching, and worship that produces transformation through the gospel and is rooted in love, truth, and kindness. That basically means we're going to preach and teach from the Word of God. We're going to stand unashamedly and boldly proclaiming the words of life. The second part of our culture is that we are Great Commission driven. We value obedience to the command of Jesus to reach our neighbors and the nations to faith in Christ and then help them to grow to be more like him. That's what the Great Commission is all about. The Bible tells us to make disciples, and that means reaching them through evangelism and growing them through discipleship, teaching them how to follow Jesus. The third part of our culture is that we are multi-layered. We are multi-layered. We value multiple generations worshiping in more than one worship style in a multi-use facility through on-campus small groups and various ministries. Our church has preschoolers through senior adults. And we not only love that about our church, we value that about our church. And some people in our church have a heart language that is more toward what we do here in our celebration worship on Sunday mornings. Some of you have a heart language that's more aligned with what we do over in room one in our modern worship. We value all of those things. We all don't, you know, not everybody in the world speaks the same language. Not everybody in the world has the same heart worship language. And so we have purposely built multi-purpose facilities because we value the opportunity to do lots of ministry in the facilities that God has given us. So being multi-layered is a part of who we are as a church now. We're also family of God focused. We value the family of God and believe the home is the center for spiritual growth. So whether you're single or married, divorced or widowed, we believe in the family. And as our family ministry that we started a little over a year ago now, that we launched last year, reminds us, the home is the center for spiritual growth. It's not the church. The home is the center for spiritual growth. And we want to do all that we can do to come alongside that and support it. The fifth is generous living. We value giving through service to others, as well as being biblically faithful to honor the Lord with our resources. This is the most generous church that I've ever known. People faithfully give of their time in service, serving other people. They give of their talents, their abilities and skills that God has given them, and they give of their finances. Our per capita giving as a body, as a church, is way above the norm. And that's because it's part of our culture. It's part of our DNA as a church to be generous. So our calling in our culture is a big part of who we are. It drives us, it defines us, but it also helps us see where we are today and where we want to go. We know those things that God wants for us that are so clear in God's word. And we're grateful for how God has been working in the life of our church. I got to tell you something. God has been working in the life of our church. He has done great things in the life of our church. Since November of 2023, okay? Think that. Get your dates straight. We're in 26 now. Since November of 2023, we've had 499 new members join our church. That's fantastic, folks. We are also projecting to baptize over 80 people this year. God is at work, and we see it every single Sunday. What's amazing about those 499 is it's not like a lot of churches where 499, you know, 470 of them have lettered in and the rest have come by baptism. No. Those two numbers are pretty equal in that amount. We're reaching people who are coming to faith in Christ and getting baptized and becoming part of the family of faith that is our church. We've spent a little time thinking about who we are, celebrated a little bit there, but we got to keep moving. We got a lot to cover today. I want us to think about where we're going. Talk about where we're going. God has not only been working in my heart, he's been working in the heart of our staff. We've been dreaming, we've been praying for several months, asking the Lord, Lord, would you direct us? Would you guide us? And God is always so faithful. And that's what I love about sharing these things with you, because God has given us visions and he's given us dreams. This congregation has a long history of following the Lord's leadership. And some of the things I want to share with you are happening right now. Some of the things are going to start happening in the coming months. Some of them might take several years to come to fruition. Most of the things that I'm going to tell you about today, you cannot sign up for today. You may want to, but you can't sign up for them today. But you're going to start hearing about them in the coming weeks and months. And you'll be reminded, oh, I wanted to sign up for that. Do you remember me saying at the beginning, what does God see for us? What does he want for us? As pastor, there are just some things that he has put on my heart that I believe he sees for us. But I also believe even greater things are yet to come. I believe there are things that God sees for our congregation that are not on anybody's heart yet. But God's at work, God's always doing something new, and God's got plans. So let me share with you some of the places that I believe that God is leading us to go. And speaking of leading us to go, let's start with mission opportunities. Mission opportunities. Since day one, missions has been in the DNA of our church. This may surprise some of you, but our church was founded in 1909. And at the first meeting of our church in 1909, what did they do? They took a missions offering. A missions offering. We've always been a church that has been thinking about missions, that has been going on missions, that's been giving to missions. Whether it's local missions or missions around the world, we are a church that is on missions. Now, I want to spotlight for you four exciting things for missions in 2026. First of all is our brand new Indian congregation. We have a brand new Indian congregation that we have started, and I love the name that they have chosen, Another Day for Jesus Church. Another Day for Jesus Church, and they meet in our field house. So Pastor Srikant Debairu is leading that new work. And that work began in November, and we're so excited about what God's already doing. I had the privilege of preaching on Christmas Day to the members of that church and invited guests that they invited to come. On Christmas Day, we worship together. And Pastor Srikant has a vision for reaching people for Christ, particularly Hindu people, reaching them for Christ. And I am very excited about this new congregation and the opportunity of this new congregation to reach people for Christ and to see the opportunity expanded throughout our community as the gospel is extended. I'm so excited about this. Second, our friendship house. Our friendship house. We are excited to say that we are expanding our friendship house in 2026. They're going to be moving into space next door, which is going to give them more space in order to do more ministry, opportunity for ESL, opportunity for job training, and opportunities for you to be involved, to take your business skills that you have and to help train up people who are in need. This has been a long time effective ministry, and what are we doing? We're expanding the reach of this ministry, and I'm very excited about where the Friendship House is going. Well, not only do we have opportunities that are happening locally, we also have new opportunities that are happening globally. And I want to tell you about one of those that I'm excited about, and that is our new partnership in Ukraine. We have all seen the war and devastation that has taken place since Russia invaded Ukraine in 2022. Ukraine has been devastated. It's had a huge impact on the churches. They've lost many members to going off to war, fighting in war, being killed in war. They've also lost many members who are fleeing to other countries. And many churches lost much of their membership, much of their leadership. But pastors have stayed and they've tried to keep their churches going as they've struggled through all of this. We are joining with 50 other Texas Baptist churches, and we are adopting churches in Ukraine. Our church is partnering with a church not too far outside of Kyiv. And this week, I talked with Pastor Dmytro Nechitalio. He is the pastor of Bible Church Hostomel. It's a Baptist church that's located just outside of Kyiv. The head pastor, you see standing there in the middle is the head pastor. His name is Andrew Somov, and Andrew has now been called up to be an army chaplain. So Dmytro, who's there in blue, Dmytro is the pastor of the church now, and he and I had a great conversation this week. They had another key leader that's in the church. He was also called up to serve in the army. But we're going to be partnering with Pastor Dmytro and the wonderful people who make up this congregation. We're getting to know each other, Pastor Andrew, Dmytro, and myself. We're getting to know each other. But when I talked to Pastor Dmytro this week, he told me, I said, tell me a little bit about you and your church. And this is what he said. He said, I believe that the best way to reach people for Christ today is through sports ministry. I said, we may know a thing or two about that. And we're going to be helping their church as they minister not only to their people in their congregation, but also to the hurting people of that war-torn country. And I'm very excited about this new mission opportunity for our church. God has opened this door for us to partner country to country, just like we've been doing and continue to do in Korea with Project 38. We've been doing that for years. For a long time, our church has been involved in missions, in going and giving. And as you know, we give each year to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. We give each year to the Annie Armstrong Easter offering. In fact, we just shattered another Lottie Moon Christmas offering goal of $286,000 given by our church that is given directly to help missionaries who are serving on the field. But there are many missions and missionaries that we as a congregation want to help that the Lottie Moon Christmas offering or the Annie Armstrong Easter offering do not touch. We want to help some ministries that are near and dear to our hearts specifically, and we want to support them as well. And so this summer, we are launching a brand new annual offering called the First Fields Mission Offering. This missions offering is a special offering to help missions that are connected directly with our church. Now, we have already determined who the recipients of this year's offering is going to help support. But in coming years, people in ministries that are connected with us are going to have the opportunity to apply, to be reviewed by our missions council, and decisions be made on how to support them financially. It's going to include individuals. It's going to include ministries that are there. We're going to include our state missions offering that we're a part of. We're going to roll that into it. We're going to support things like the work in Ukraine. All of those are going to be supported through this summer missions offering that we're going to receive. Now, you're going to hear more about that offering starting in June, but I wanted for you to be aware. Now, that's just a taste of mission opportunities. Now, speaking of taste, we also have several service opportunities that are going to be happening this year, but I'm only going to give you a very small taste of them today. There are many, many ways you can get involved in serving in the life of your church, but today I'm only going to mention one because I got so much other stuff I want to share with you. The thing that I want to mention to you is our Serve Day on March the 28th. We've already been promoting this. We've already seen a video about this. This will be a day that families in our church will be able to come together to serve. This is part of our family ministry to reach out in our community for families, no matter who you are, to come and be a part of serving this community that we live in. We want this to be a church-wide service effort. No matter your age, there is a way you can be a part. And so we want to ask you to make Serve Day a priority on your calendar. And you can go outside today. There's actually a booth set up where you can find out information about Serve Day when you leave today. But we want you to be a part. Now, again, there are many service opportunities you're going to be hearing about in this coming year. But that's the one that I want to mention today. We also have not only mission opportunities and not only service opportunities, but we also have some new ministries that we want to start this year. Our church has a long history of great ministries. This year, for example, let me give you an example of this. This year, we are celebrating over 50 years of kids' community basketball. And this year, we have our biggest group ever. We have 450 plus kids playing basketball every weekend. You think about that, 450 kids brings a lot of moms and dads and brothers and sisters and grandparents on our campus every single week. What a great ministry that has been. But God is also bringing new ministries to the life of our church as well. There's three in particular that I want to highlight today. I'm very excited about these. I believe they are going to significantly move the dial, so to speak, in the life of our church. The first is, I'm so excited, we are starting a young adults ministry. One of the needs that we recognize within the life of our church is ministry to young adults. There are many people in our church that have families, and they've got young adults in their family, and they're looking for a place. They're looking for a place of ministry. They're looking for a class. They're looking for a ministry to be involved in. And we believe this ministry is exactly what our church needs. Young adults will be a focused ministry and a specific ministry to singles or couples or people, those couples that have gotten married, or young families who are kind of starting out in their 20s and early 30s. So when you think about young adults ministry, think about 25 to 35. Think about that range in there. It is a rapidly growing part of our church family. Not to mention, it's a huge part of people living right on our doorstep in all these apartments around us. We want to reach them. We want to minister to them. We have a candidate that we've been interviewing, a very, very strong candidate, and I'm so excited about that. But we're going to launch that ministry officially on June the 1st of this year. The second ministry that I want to tell you about is not new at all, but instead, this ministry is an expansion of an existing ministry. And this ministry involves our student ministry. Corey Gummel is our awesome student pastor. If you don't know Corey, you need to know Corey because he is an awesome student pastor. But today, within his ministry, we're announcing the start of a new middle school ministry. We believe this is a vital part of reaching families and of reaching more students. Now, I'm really excited about this ministry because we have so many young families that are a part of our church that have middle schoolers, or maybe you've got up-and-coming middle schoolers. You know, our kids ministry is just sending kids every year into our student ministry. And I'm so excited about this, but I'm also excited to announce that Rowdy Casey is going to be our new middle school minister. Now, Rowdy has been leading out in our adult sports ministry. But when we started talking about this middle school ministry and we began praying about it, God just kept bringing Rowdy up on our heart. Well, we approached Rowdy and he began to pray about it. And Rowdy believes that God is calling him to work in this ministry to students. He's already been involved in the student ministry heavily, but he believes that God is calling him to this new role. And this is going to further our family ministry in general, but it's going to really strengthen our student ministry in a great way. As to the adult sports, where Rowdy has been serving, we've asked Jonathan Kite to give leadership on an interim basis in our adult sports ministry. Jonathan is a member of our church, and God has been calling Jonathan into ministry. It's a great opportunity for him. He's going to keep his permanent job that he has, but on an interim basis, he's going to be serving and working in this adult sports ministry. And I believe that we're going to actually see growth in both our middle school ministry and in our adult sports ministry this year. All right, the third ministry that I want to mention is also an expansion. And I'm really excited about this because it's something that we really need to do as a body. This is not just some idea. This is something we really need to do as a body. And that is, we are going to develop a full-scale prayer ministry in the life of our church. This year, we're going to bolster that ministry of prayer that is so important in the life of our church. Now, there are several ways we're going to do that. I'm not going to list all of those several ways we're going to do it, but I want to mention two in particular that I want you to know about. The first is we're starting a pastor's prayer partners. I am asking for at least 365 of you to join me in committing to pray for our church every single day. And in the coming weeks, we're going to be asking people, not asking you today, in the coming weeks, we're going to be asking people to sign up to be part of the pastor's prayer partners. You'll be receiving a weekly email with specific things that we all want to be praying about in the life of our church. Can we get more than 365 people to do that? I hope so. But that's the goal that I've set, for 365 people to pray every day for what God is doing at Church of the Fields. Our church needs your prayers. Our staff will tell you, we need your prayers. We want to pray that God does amazing things in the life of our church. Our church needs that prayer, and so we want to have a multi-layered prayer ministry, where there are multiple ways that people can be a part of praying for our church. Now, within that ministry, within that prayer ministry, there's a second way that I want to expand that ministry this year. I have asked Wade Longcrier to help me with the prayer ministry. Now, Wade is a former staff member. He is still the president and CEO of Global Grace Missions. That's not changing at all. That ministry is growing. Trust me, I'm on the board of that. He's doing an outstanding job. They are recruiting new missionaries. That ministry is growing and thriving like it's never has before under Wade's leadership. But I've asked Wade to come and help on a part-time capacity, to help with our prayer ministry, and to help with other projects that I have in mind. Now, he's not going to be around here all the time. He's got a full-time job to do. But as he can, Wade is going to be present, and Wade is going to be serving the people of the fields. And here's the great news about that, Wade. He starts today. He's already on board. You're working right now. We have new ministries in the life of our church that are starting with new staff, with current staff that have just kind of been moved around, and with returning staff. We are adding a new minister so that we can reach young adults inside our church and outside our church, something we'd need. We're reassigning Rowdy to reach more students and more families. And we're adding Wade to be more effective in our prayer ministry in our church and in other ministries I'm asking him to help with. I told you it'd be an exciting day. I'm already excited. We're not done yet. Now I want to talk to you about new facilities for the next generation. New facilities. We are a church that exists for those who are not here yet. And some of those are adults who do not know Christ as Savior, but we've always been a church for future generations. And that is more true now than ever before. God is bringing the generations to us. We have opened up a fantastic kids building. And that kids building, if you haven't noticed, that kids building is packed. It is full of kids. That kids building is for birth through third grade. And that building is packed. Our team believes we've got to be praying, thinking, and believing for the next generation. We've already been working with our architects on conceptual drawings for the next phase. And we need to build space for the rest of the kids and the students who are coming to our campus every week. But the fact is, we also need more space for adults. Those kids are not just bringing themselves. I mean, moms and dads are coming with them as well. When the architect asked me, he said, "Brent, who do you need more space for?" I said, "Oh, that's easy. Everyone. We need it for everyone." So we've been in the process of praying and looking toward tomorrow. Now, I want to put some images up on the screen to show you some concepts. We're going to start with just an aerial image of the campus, all right? So what you see in the buildings that are in white, those are our current facilities that we have right now, including down on the left, you see that's the 300s building that you see there on the left that many of you adults go. But the build out of the campus, the next phase you see there in blue, and then more education space you see in red, and then future worship space you see there in orange. But you see there the master plan of how the whole campus can come together. What you can't see is inside that building, there's actually a way that just a flow that goes throughout the entire campus, throughout all the buildings that will just circle together, make it easy to get from one place to another. But I wanted you to see that because I want you to see we have a plan for the future, a long-term plan. We're also looking toward future space for preteens, for students, and for adults, including what you see there, kind of a open gathering space there. This would be just right outside these walls, on the other side of these walls, going out into this grassy area here. A place for preteens to be together. We also have place for students, you know, like large rooms for students to gather in. We also have a place for, we'll go to the next slide so you can see the next slide, classroom space for people to meet together, all to be in one spot. So you see, we've got these places like this. We've got these spaces. Now, we'd love to also include with that administrative space and office space. Again, it's all conceptual right now. But we're dreaming, we're talking, we're thinking, we're praying, we're prepping, we're getting ready. We've always been a church thinking about tomorrow. We've always been a church for the future, and we can't stop doing that. We've always got to remain flexible. We have seen what flexibility can do, amen? I mean, those of you who are on the Josie campus know we came out, we've been flexible, and we've seen what God does with flexibility. Yet we also have to be a church that is preparing for future generations. And God is bringing people to our church. And we can't just ignore tomorrow. We've got to think about tomorrow. And I think he's telling us something. We want to keep ministering to families and to generations to come. Now, some of you are wondering right now, well, hey, why not worship space? Why not worship space? It's a great question. We recognize that new worship space, you see it there on the master plan. We recognize that new worship space is a desire of many, many people, including myself. But the space that will help us to minister to the most people, the space that will help us to reach the most and to grow is really education space. That is our most pressing need. Worship space is a want right now, but education space for future generations is a need. I don't know if any of you noticed, but the chairs you're sitting in right now are different. Have you noticed that? I think some of you have. You're obviously sitting in different chairs. You came in and thought you were at a wedding. You're obviously sitting in different chairs than normal. And I want you to know we did that so we could fit everybody in, so we could have room one join room two today, and we could all be together, and we'll do it again in the next hour. But I also want to let you know that we're going to be replacing all of our chairs that we normally use on Sundays. You say, well, why are you doing that? Well, it's important reasons we're doing that. All of those chairs are going to be replaced by Easter. The ones that we have are really getting banged up. They're beat up. They're hard to set up and tear down, which we do every single week, multiple times. Most of the chairs that we use are 7 to 10 years old, and they are wearing out, they are tearing, they are breaking. You may not realize this, but this coming March will be the 10th anniversary of us starting to worship in room one and starting Church at the Fields. 10 years ago this coming March. And so a lot of the chairs that we use are chairs from that time. We're going to move to chairs that are not these that you're sitting in. We're going to move to chairs that are more durable. They'll be easier for our team to set up and tear down. Somebody thanked me this morning that they don't have to be a part of tearing down chairs, because many of you volunteer to do that every week. But most important, they allow us to be able to put more chairs in the room and to have more seats for growth. In fact, it will allow us to have a lot more seats for growth. Russ, I see you sitting there in the middle. Would you stand up? If you're on Russ's row or in front of Russ, would you please stand up? If you're right here in this section, would you please stand up? Everybody right down here, would you all please stand up? That represents about how many people we can add each hour into each room. It allows us to grow by 500 people on a Sunday morning. Friends, we have space. You can be seated. There's no pay for that. That was all free. We have space for growth in our 4 worship hours, but we're out of education space. When those chairs come in, those chairs are going to come in right around Easter, a little bit before Easter. I hope that when those chairs come in, you will be positive and you'll be supportive in the new chairs, in the new seats. They're not as plush as the ones we have today, but I want you to see something. As a church, we always want to be about kingdom, not comfort. You see that up there? Can we all say that together? We always want to be about kingdom, not comfort. Friends, that's the kind of church we want to be. When you become a comfortable church, you become a dying church. Now, I'm not saying these chairs that are coming in are going to be uncomfortable. I'm not saying that at all. But they're different. And sometimes when things are different, we kind of start chattering a little bit. Let's let them do that at other churches, not us. All right. So how would we pay for more space? How would we pay for more space? Well, I want to talk to you about this. This is important. I want to talk to you about our strategy for funding. So we built a brand new building, and currently as a church, our debt sits at $11.5 million. We knew that's where we would be at this point. We talked about this back in our building campaign because we just opened a brand new building. We've been paying down on principal since day one, and we're not going to stop doing that. Our giving for the More to Come campaign has been phenomenal. It has exceeded what was pledged. Our church pledged $5 million. We have given over $6.2 million to that campaign, and that campaign's not over till May. Our budget, in the meantime, has just continued to grow and grow and grow. But at the same time, we don't feel good about adding a lot more debt onto that amount right now. Now, you know, we're in the process of selling the wooded acreage on the south end of our property. And that process is moving along with a buyer. But when you sell property, it takes a lot longer than selling your house. And it's going to take probably another 12 months at least before we're able to finalize that. But once we do, that's going to take a good chunk out of our current debt. And I'm going to say, conservatively speaking, we're expecting in the neighborhood of at least $4 million for that piece of property. So when that finalizes, that would take our debt down to $7.5 million. Now, it's going to be lower than that because we're just going to keep paying and paying and paying. But I want us as a church to do more toward our debt and more toward our future in 2026. So here's our challenge. I am calling on our church to raise $2 million in 2026 toward debt relief. And I believe that the sooner that we can raise that money, the sooner we're going to be able to move forward in building the buildings that we need to build for future generations. So to that end, on March the 1st, we are going to have, 1 month from today, we are going to have a special vision offering. A vision offering. And I want us to see how much of that $2 million we can raise in one day. Now, we might not raise all of it in one day, but let's give our very best and see what we can do in one day to raise $2 million. Our current capital campaign, more to come, will finish in May, and we'll follow up with another capital campaign later on. But right now, let's knock out at least $2 million of our debt. And let's try to do as much of that as we can on March the 1st. It will move us forward and help us to get on that pathway of construction sooner, which, by the way, just to make sure everybody understands this, those buildings that we need them now. But to build those buildings takes 3 years. The sooner we can move forward, the better. The sooner we can get on that pathway, the better. Now, some might say, well, what if we raise more than $2 million? I'd say, thank you for asking that question and believing with me. We are helping future generations. Our staff, our building committee, we're working, we're thinking, we're dreaming, working with architects so that we can be ready to pull the trigger for our church when we believe as a congregation it's the right time and in the right way. So when you leave today, you're going to be handed a vision offering envelope that you can give online. In fact, you can go online and give today. But if you want 100% of your donation to go with no fees involved, then write a check. And that's especially important if you plan to make a very large gift. But let's do what we need to do to take care of some of that debt. And we will receive this offering all year long. But let's make an effort, a push. Let's strive to reach as much of that as we can on March the 1st. That'll better position us for the future. What does God see for us? And what does he want us to see? That's what we want to do, to have a vision to see, the faith to believe, and the courage to do. All right, so what is needed? What is needed? There are a lot of things. There's a lot of things I could say. And it's easy, but it's not easy. Let me share with you just a couple of things. First of all, we need more faith. We need more faith. To believe is to be strong. And to see it before you see it is what faith is all about. We sing this song, Same God. And I asked Keith if we could sing that today because that's the song that has been on my heart all the time, the months I've been working on this message today. it reminds us that the same God of all the Bible heroes, the same God who parted the sea, the same God who raised his son from the dead is the same God that is working at Church in the Fields. He's still showing up in Carrollton, Texas, and he's asking us to have more faith. I love this quote from John Maxwell. Never tell a person that something cannot be done. God may have been waiting for centuries for somebody ignorant enough of the impossible to do that very thing. We need more faith that the God who has seen us along this far will be the one to see us through. And not for us. It's not about us. It's not about you. It's not about me. I do not care if I die and am forgotten. This is about his name, his fame, his renown for future generations. We need more faith. We need more sacrifice. Sacrifice is the hallmark of this church, and we do it not for ourselves, and we don't do it out of guilt, but we do it because we believe in a God who works through generous people. And we've seen that over and over again in our history. For future generations, we give today, we give on March the 1st. And by the way, we got to keep giving to support the budget of the church. All the ministries of our church are supported through the budget. We can't just give to this special offering. I mean, honestly, I'd love for us to reach it all on that Sunday, but the Lord has to guide our hearts, and we need everyone, not just a few. This church was not built on the back of big givers. It's always been built on the backs of people who say, God, I want to be faithful to you, who give above and beyond the tithe. I believe God has placed this before our church. And instead of seeing why it can't happen, let's sacrifice and believe by faith in what God can do. And then we need more vision. We've always been a visionary church since December the 16th, 1909, when we were founded all the way to today. Our church has been a church that's been about seeing the unseen. We have believed in a future we cannot see, knowing that the God we cannot see will show up in ways we cannot deny and do mighty works in our presence. So God, give us the vision to see 5, 10, 20 years down the road, just as those in our past did for us. So we may not all wear glasses, but we all want to see clearly. To see what God wants us to see. And to do that, we have to follow his word and believe where it says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Would you bow your head with me today? God, thank you. Thank you for this time. Thank you for the people here today. Thank you for what you're doing. Church family, if you've come here today and you've never received Christ as Savior, I want to invite you to go to our Connect Room where you can go and give your heart to Christ today. Don't be afraid or ashamed, but go and give your heart to Christ. If you are new and you want to be a part of this church, go to our Connect Room out here on the Commons. Join our church today. If you need to be baptized, go there. Whatever decision God is placing on your heart, whatever it is he's leading you to do, you can go to our Connect Room and make that decision. Let's be a church, let's be a people that say, God, where you lead, I'll go. What you ask me to do, I'll do. Let's have that kind of faith to believe. So Father, we give our hearts to you as a congregation. We give our lives to you. God, out of all the things I've said today, I pray that you would strengthen and bless our prayer ministry, that we would be a people of prayer, praying for you to do great things in our church. God, give us eyes to see what you would have us do. Help us to follow you. Help us to love you more and to do your will. God, if there's anything I've said today you didn't want me to say, I pray it'd fall from everybody's ears. But Lord, if there are things that you do want our congregation to hear, would you sear it in our hearts and speak to us today? And we pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Would you stand together as we sing our closing song?